Good morning. Welcome to Bonesville this morning. I just invite you to stand if you're able as we worship. Ushers come forward at this time as we take this morning's offering, which is for the Bishop Support Fund, and there's also the MyCoins count for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Lord, we give out of your great mercy toward us and your forgiveness and your great blessing. And Father, we thank you for the many, many reminders that you pour out upon us each spring of the new life that you bring. And Lord, we give these offerings to you not to earn your favor, we could never do that, but out of a reminder that everything that we experience is a gift from you. Father, we ask that you would pour out your blessing upon Eric Marshall, our bishop here, and his wife Cheryl. Lord, upon those bishops who have served in the past. Lord, we ask your great wisdom to be upon them in the many challenges and opportunities we face to live for you in this world that is turning increasingly hostile toward you. Just give us wisdom and give them wisdom in leading us. Spur us on toward holding them up in prayer as they minister to, as they encourage, and as they challenge, they guide our pastors and those of our sister churches in this area. In Jesus' name we pray, your blessing upon these gifts and their lives. Amen.
We are my sorrow and dead in my sin. Lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over. Shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I'm safe with you. So when I fight, I will fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Lord, we just thank you that you have won the battle, and it's not one that we have to fight, and we just thank you so much for that. Just thank you that we can be here this morning, and just that you would speak through Brian and give him the words that we need to hear from you this morning. Amen.
My name is Clark Brubacher, and I'm the president of the youth group here at Bowmansville. Since the last youth Sunday, the youth group has been somewhat busy doing all sorts of different activities. In March, we had two Bible studies where we continued our study in Acts, where we looked at Paul's missionary journeys across the Middle East. We also had our annual spiritual life retreat where Randy Umbel spoke about several different minor prophets. Also in March, we went to a pizza buffet, then went rock climbing. We also had a committee meeting to plan future youth group activities. So far in April, we've had only one activity, and that was a Bible study where we continued looking at Paul's journey. In the last report, Eric asked you to pray for wisdom and guidance as we are still in the process of choosing where to go for our summer service project this year. We have since decided to go with MDS to Maryland. I'd ask that you continue to pray for the summer service project, as there's still a lot of unknowns surrounding it. Thank you for your prayers and continued support of the youth group.
Thanks, Clark. All right, so in a little bit, we're going to have a baby dedication. And before that, though, I'd just like to take a minute to congratulate this year's quizzers. We got another quizzing season behind us, so I don't think the quizzers know this is happening, so this won't be very painful, I promise. Maybe I'll just ask you to raise your hand so people can see who you are. So we had two teams this year. The first one was all boys, and it was coached by Brett Haller. Raise your hand. And Doug did the Pete Rose thing, not the gambling, the player coach thing. I think he started out as a coach, right, then maybe turned into a quizzer. Okay, he was both the whole time. So Doug Becker was on that team. And then Clark, Tyler, is here somewhere. Oh, he's up in the back, okay. Miles, he's in the back. Doug, I had Doug already. And David. All right, so thank you guys, congratulations. I think they ended up in eighth place, which is somewhere in like about the one-third mark, maybe. Better than midpoint, but not right at the top. So congratulations, guys. And the next team was mostly girls, and that was coached by Audrey in the back there. And the lone boy was Eric. And then the rest are girls. Lucy, maybe she's not here. Katie, Emma, Juliana, and Sierra. All right, congratulations, guys. Now hold your applause. So they ended up in third place, if I understand right, at the end of the season. And they have a local tournament at the end of the year, and they got first place in that local tournament. And when they went to Ohio, they got third place in that tournament. And it's my understanding that the two teams that finished ahead of them, they actually beat them during the course of the play at least once each team. So it was very close, and they ended up in third place. So congratulations. Also, I almost forgot. So if you're familiar with quizzing, is it still the top 65 that they recognize? Okay, so if you finish as one of the top 65 quizzers, as far as your score accumulated throughout the season, that's a pretty big accomplishment because there's hundreds? Dozens for sure. Maybe hundreds of quizzers. If you've ever been to them, there's a lot of them. And if you finish in the top 65, that's great. And we had a few top 65ers. I'm not sure who they were. Why don't you raise your hand if you were in the top 65? Okay, I see David, Sierra, and Doug, and Katie. Am I missing anybody? Oh, Emma. All right. So congratulations, guys. That's quite an accomplishment. Okay, go ahead, Tony.
This is one of those joyous events in the life of a church. I'd like to invite Josh and Cassie forward. One of you can introduce introduce us to your addition to your family.
This is Faith Roslyn Horst.
So I have a few questions for you. This is more parent dedication and church dedication than it is baby dedication. Do you accept your child as a gift from God? Do you dedicate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, preparing her to come to an open confession of faith in Christ and to live your lives as a godly example for your child? Do you promise to gladly surrender your child to the ministry God has in mind for her, even if it might involve going to the ends of the earth? To you, the congregation, do you accept responsibility for the well-being of this child? Will you, by prayer, example, and words, support these parents in nurturing their child to respond to the grace and truth that are in Christ? Can you signify that by standing? You have a lot of support. Ask for help when you need it. We are here for you. I'd like to pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you continue to bless Josh and Cassie. I just pray that you pour out a blessing on Faith. I pray that she would come to know you as her Lord and Savior. I pray that you would lead her and guide her all the days of her lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Faith and Grayson. We're going to Faith and Grayson's house. Does that roll off the tongue? When we went away, it was always the kids whose house it was. All right, so I just have a few announcements that I'd like to say before we get started. First of all, the prayer sign-up paper is still over there. I haven't looked at it. I'm not sure if there's any spots on it anymore or not, but if there is, go ahead and sign up and fill in the empty spots so we can have a prayer, a 24-hour prayer time as we pray for the transition that we're facing here coming up. So don't forget to sign up for that. Also, there's flyers like this in the front, near the front entrance and in the back entrance, and it says, "You're invited to Bowmansville Mennonite Church. On Sunday, May 7th at 10 o'clock, we'll be having a special life celebration service, which will include a time of music, a children's story, and sharing about relationships." Here's the good part. That was good, too. But here's more good stuff. Following the service, everyone is invited to stay for a fellowship meal. And I'm on the committee that plans special services like this, and it kind of came up as, hey, should we make this invite a friend Sunday? And someone said, you know, I think at some point over the years, we did that here at Bowmansville, and it wasn't very successful. And I said, you know what, I'd like to do that again. So don't make me look bad. Invite a friend, and we'll have a successful invite a friend Sunday. Okay, so I have a prayer request now that came to me this morning through text. I'll read what the prayer request was for. Please pray for Lindsay Ringler, daughter of Curvin and Mary, who is in the process of getting some tests done since they discovered a mass near her small intestines. So let's take a minute and pray for the Ringler family and for Lindsay. God, we just honor who you are. And we know that you created us and you know our bodies. God, I just pray, our prayer now is that this is an opportunity for you to be glorified. We pray for healing and glorification to you through that. And just pray that you're near to the Ringler family, Kervin and Mary and Jerry and Lindsay and the extended family. Just pray that you're with them and comfort them in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I think that's it for the announcements for now. Clark, good job. Thanks for the president's report. Miles, there's some guys up there in the top. The youth are participating this Sunday, as they do every Sunday. Great. Thank you, guys. And Tyler. Tyler is using his administrative gifts to be our worship leader. So he's the one that rounded up the musicians to use their gifts this morning to sing. So you didn't see any youth this morning, current youth up there, but Tyler did organize that. So thanks, Tyler. I think I see you up there. Thanks. Okay, so a couple of Sundays ago, Flowing Waters was here, and they had the message Sunday morning. And that was brought by Rick. Sometimes it's brought by Brian. And that's kind of does two things that are good. It connects the congregation with what's happening at Flowing Waters, and it connects Flowing Waters with what's happening with the congregation. So I appreciated that. Thanks, guys. And now it's Youth Sunday. So we have a couple of goals here this morning. I want to connect the youth to our church here, and I want to connect our church to the youth. So I want to let the church know specifically one thing that we did on the spiritual life retreat. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And the other thing that I want to accomplish this morning besides connecting the youth is we want to talk about identifying a new associate pastor. So we have these two goals here this morning. So I've been the youth pastor here for about a term and a half. We like three-year terms here at Bowmansville, so that's about 4.5 years, if my count's right, that I've been the youth pastor here. And as far as being on the leadership team, I'm the rookie on the leadership team. There's been some position changes recently. Tony and Larry switched places, and that's not true. In that 4.5 years, Eric came on board, but he's hardly a rookie. He was the pastor at Blainsport. And I still see myself as the rookie. And I just want to say that it's really been a blessing to be part of a team where everybody is more experienced than me. And I really learned a lot in the last 4.5 years from doing that. So I really felt the stability that our leadership team has provided here in recent years. But before those 4.5 years started, there was kind of a period of time where we had several changes, kind of back to back to back to back to back to back. And it made me feel like there was some instability there. And you know, I started looking at the math, and we have a bishop, 3 pastors, and 2 deacons. That's 6. If everybody serves for an average of 10 years, do the math. That's more than every other year there's a new leader coming in. So maybe that's where some of that instability, where I feel some of that instability coming in. The older I get, the more adverse to change that I get. And you know, it's easy. I know that change is good, and it's easy for me to promote to other people that, hey, you should change and grow. But when it comes to my life, I'm doing just fine. I don't need to change anything. But the reality is change is a part of life. And I think we're coming into a time of change again here. So let me just say that during that time that happened before this past 4.5 year period, I really appreciated the leaders that we've had, the pastors, the deacons, and the bishops. It's not because of who they were that made me have that instability. In fact, it was because of who they are that kept things stable. for me, and I really appreciated that. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." So I'm part of a family cabin that we go to sometimes in Juniata County, and in order to get water into the cabin, you got to walk uphill, kind of along a creek, and you got to bottle up the creek, and then we collect the water up there and pipe it into the cabin so that the faucets work in the cabin. And as you're walking up through there, it usually happens Friday night in the dark, and as I'm walking up through there, this happened recently, I'm walking, and you get to the creek area where you bottle it up, and you step on a stone, okay? David talks about the Lord being my rock. I'm not talking about stepping on rock. Step on a stone, a smaller stone. Maybe some sand, mud, gravel is packed around it, and it wiggles a little bit. And you think, okay, that's not that big a deal. And then you take another step, and that one wiggles. And next thing you know, I had to come to the realization that I'm going down. And so you probably have been in this situation. You feel your way down, and it's kind of a controlled fall, and it feels like it takes about 10 seconds, but it probably took a lot less than that. The next thing I know, I'm on my back in the creek with my feet, really, my feet were up in the air, and I didn't get hurt, and I'm sure nobody saw me because it was dark, but I did get a wet back. So David's in that psalm, David's talking about God being our rock, not small stones, not sand, not mud, not rock, or not small leaves and sticks. And while I am thankful for the bishops and pastors and deacons that we've had, it's comforting for me to know that Jesus is who we look for the stability here at church and in our lives. So like I said, we're coming into a time of change here at Bowmansville. I think we have a new lead pastor, not brand new anymore, fairly new. New associate pastor, well, Larry's not new, it's kind of a return to that position, but we're going to be having a new associate pastor, and we're looking at a $250,000-ish remodel coming up here. There's a lot of changes, and it's comforting to realize that Jesus is the rock that gives us this ability, the stability through this, and not we don't look to stability for stability at like what's happening at Bowmansville right now. It's Jesus that gives us this stability. So keep that in mind. So this is the first of three qualification messages. This morning we're looking at being called by God. And what does it mean to be called? So I'd like to take a crack at answering that. What does it mean to be called? While we spend some time connecting the youth group with the congregation and the congregation with the youth group. So I'm going to ask the children to come front now. It's a children's message time. And I'd like you to sit over here. Okay? Sit on this bench over here. So, you're coming front right now for the children's story, message, whatever, but it's also an experiment. So, we're going to conduct an experiment this morning. Can you all fit on that front bench? Wow, there's a pile of you. One, two, three. So, how many is there here? I'm going to count the ones in the front bench here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Okay, so we got 17 of you here. So how many of you guys know what Oreo cookies are? Okay, you know what Oreo cookies are. Now remember, we're going to do an experiment here. What's your favorite way to eat an Oreo cookie? Just tell me. Shove it in your mouth, okay? What's your favorite way? Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. Did you hear that? Milk. Oreo cookies and milk. What? Yeah, another shove it in your mouth. One more. eat it. Stuff it in and eat it, yeah. Okay, so you can also peel them apart, right, and lick the frosting out. Did you ever go to Dairy Queen and have a blizzard, an Oreo-flavored blizzard? You can chop them up and put them in there. What else? Cookies and cream ice cream. Cookies and cream ice cream. I'm not sure. They might not use genuine Oreo cookies in there, but I'm sure that there's been ice cream that did use genuine Oreo cookies somewhere along the line. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to do an experiment. And Miles, could you put that slide up? I'll get to that slide in a minute. So I'd like to do an experiment this morning. Nicole, would you help me out here? So what I have is some real, authentic Oreo cookies, okay? And I also have some essential sandwich cookies, I think is what they're called, okay? They're generic Oreo cookies, okay? And what I'd like for you guys to do is I'd like to see if you can tell the difference, okay? So, do you guys want to taste some Oreo cookies and some essential sandwich cookies? Okay, if you don't have to if you don't want to, but for those that want to. So, Nicole's going to come around, and she has one or the other. Well, I'm not going to tell you which it is, okay? She has either real Oreos or generic Oreos. And when she gives it to you, here's what I want you to do.
Look at it.
No. I don't want you to look at it, because I think if you look at it, you might be able to tell, okay? So what I want you to do is, when Nicole gets to you, I want you to close your eyes and hold out your hand and take the cookie, and what's your favorite way to eat it? Stuff it in your mouth, okay? I don't want you to take a little bite and then look at it, okay? No, no, don't do that. Okay, so go ahead and hand out, we'll call this cookie A, okay? So eat it up. Go ahead, stuff it in your mouth and eat it. And then when it's in your mouth, you can open your eyes again. Okay, eat that up. In a minute, we're going to hand out cookie B. Okay? So you're eating that, and you're thinking now, is this a real Oreo, or is this the generic Oreo? Boy, for shoving it in your mouth, you guys are slow eaters. You can open your eyes now if you want to. So we got, how many people got cookies? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Did you guys get cookies?
I did.
15, 16. Okay. I think we didn't have enough cookies for everybody. So we got 16. So cookie A is just about eaten up. Okay, let's go to cookie B. So Nicole's going to come around, and if you didn't finish cookie A yet, just kind of hold it in your one hand and then take your other hand and grab cookie B and then eat cookie B, okay? Okay, here she comes. Go ahead and eat it. Eat it up. Eat it up so you can open your eyes. So when you're done eating, I'm going to ask you which one was the genuine Oreo and which one was the generic. And then we'll see who got it and how many missed it. Eat it up. Okay, did everyone at least get a bite out of their cookie bee?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, thanks, Nicole. We're gonna look at the first cookie, okay? Raise your hand. Now, don't worry about what your neighbor does, okay? I just want your opinion here. Okay? If you think cookie A, the first cookie, was the real Oreo, raise your hand. My goodness. All of you, just about. You know what? I'm pretty proud of you guys that aren't raising your hand because you're not just doing what everyone else does. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, so 12. Now, how many? Okay, so the other four think that the other one was the real cookie. Raise your hand if you think cookie B was the real cookie, the real Oreo cookie. Okay, a couple of you. Not many. We'll say four. Okay. So I'll tell you, cookie A, right, Nicole? Cookie A was the real Oreo cookie. So most of you were familiar with that. So we'll go 12 got it, and four missed it. You know why I think you were familiar with that? Because you like to eat Oreos. And you've eaten a lot of them in the past. And you know from eating cookies and cream or going to Dairy Queen or cookies and milk or whatever, you know what the real thing is because you're familiar with it, right? So sometimes in our lives, we come to a time or a situation when we're not quite sure what to do, but if we know Jesus and we know what he wants us to do and we're familiar with him by going to Sunday school and by reading the Bible and praying, and we're familiar with him, we know what to do because it's familiar to us, just like we were able to identify the real, mostly, the real Oreo cookie, right? So, remember that. You need to be familiar with something if you want to be able to identify its authenticity. So you can come this direction to go back to where you came from, and you can grab some more essential sandwich cookies. And there's some brownies in there too. So I'll just take a minute here and explain this slide. So here's the part where I want to tell you what the youth group has been up to a little bit. On our spiritual life retreat, one of the things we did, was we did a taste test, or, you don't eat a ladder, but we did a test of the real thing versus the generic thing. And look at this, we did a ladder. We had like a name brand ladder that you'd see on a construction site, and then we had like a cheapo Harbor Freight ladder that stays in my garage for the most part. And when it came to identifying the real ladder versus the fake ladder, you can see we got eight got it right and three missed it. So we did the ladder, we did Mountain Dew and Mountain Lightning, right? And look at that. 9 people got it wrong. So Mountain Lightning's pretty good. Cookie, oh, that was the Oreo thing. So look at this. Oreos must be pretty popular. Everybody got the Oreo cookie. All right? And then we did coffee. It was decaf versus regular coffee. And now we did cheat a little on that. We put like extra coffee in the decaf to make it taste stronger. So we cheated a little bit on that one. And then we had, I don't know what PT is. Oh, paper towel. We got some like Bounty versus store brand paper towel. And that one couldn't really tell the difference. Most people missed it. And then the last one is, before we get to the last one, I'm not really sure about this. I don't think that's true. But, you know, we've all been on that weekend trip or whatever when we go to take a shower and we realize we forgot our deodorant or our soap or our clean set of underwears. So, Cullen, I feel you. I'm not sure where you're at up there. I feel you, and I don't think there's any validity to this. But the Dr. Pepper, that was about 50-50. People couldn't really tell the difference. All right, so look at this. It's just about 50-50. 34 times they could tell, 33 times they couldn't. But one of the wise youth group advisors said, you know what? I think if we would have drinked some real Mountain Dew or some real Dr. Pepper, some real coffee, or experienced the real paper towel, and experienced the authentic real thing, like minutes before this test, I think we would have got them all right. And I think he's right. I think he's right. We need to be familiar with authenticity. So, thanks, Miles. You can get rid of that. So how do we identify what it means to be called? Well, we have to familiarize ourselves with authenticity in order to identify an authentic calling. We need to familiarize ourselves with authenticity, and God gave us His Word so we can do just that. So when Tony asked me to prepare for this, he gave me several scriptures to read. 1 Timothy 3, 4-12, Colossians 3, no, wait a minute, 1 Timothy 3, 2, 4, 12. Colossians 3 to 4, 6, and Matthew chapter 20. Now, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 20 here as part of the message today. But I want everyone to get a pencil and a pen or your phone or somewhere where you can take a note. And I'm going to read I'm going to tell you what those other two passages are. And during this upcoming time of discernment, I want you to read those passages and study on those passages because they're really important to know. So does everybody have a pen or a pencil or a way to take a note? Okay, it's 1 Timothy 3 to 4:12. So it's all of chapter 3 and part of chapter 4. The next one is Colossians 3 to 4:6. Same thing. All of chapter 3 and part of chapter 4. So that's your homework. Read that as you consider how to identify authenticity in a calling. Okay, so when Tony gave me those scriptures, I read them all, and the one that stuck out to me the most is Matthew 20. So I'm going to read a portion of that, Matthew 20, 20 to 28. So I'm going to read that now. Matthew 20, 20 to 28. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What's your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left." But Jesus answered by saying, You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink from?" So the sons must have been there too. "Oh yes," they replied, "we are able." Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will be on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones that he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, You know that the rulers in this world lord it over the people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different." Now listen to this part. This is the important part that really stuck out to me. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus says, in order to be a leader, in order to experience an authentic call to leadership, we have to take our ambitions, our selfish ambitions, and put them aside. We have to be a servant. And that's what love is, right? We talk about this in the youth group. Love is to be unselfish. The opposite of love is selfishness. So I think what Jesus is saying here and how this pertains to qualification for leadership is you not only have to have the capacity to love, but because it's a choice and it can be a difficult choice, you have to have the willingness to love. It's one thing to know you have to love and have the capacity to love, but do you have the willingness to give up, to give a piece of you, to give up what you want to love others? So as far as qualification message, that's what really spoke to me out of these scriptures that Tony gave me to study. So we as a body of believers are going to come together here soon to identify our next associate pastor, Lord willing. And maybe your part is, maybe your part's going to be to nominate somebody. Maybe your part's going to be on the discernment committee or discernment team. Maybe you'll be one that's nominated, and you'll have to work through that. Maybe God's calling you to cover the body in prayer throughout this process. If he is, go ahead and sign up. But I think we all have the obligation in these coming weeks, we all have the obligation to take time to familiarize ourselves with the Word of God so we know what an authentic calling really is. So remember to keep the authentic Word of God close as we move through this next period of time of calling an associate pastor. Okay, let's pray. God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for your Word and for your Spirit and the way you interact with us. And I just pray that your Spirit is with us as we move through this time of what may seem like instability, even though we know that you're in control and we know that your will is going to be done. And I just pray that you're with the people as the church, as we nominate and discern, and just pray that you're with us throughout this whole process. In Jesus' name, amen. Does the worship team have a song?
Oh, your mercy never fails me. brief announcement here. You probably saw in your mailboxes that Church Council has approved a revised offering schedule. Just a few minor details. Just want to point out what's been changed and why. The second Sunday in August has been typically Bowmansville Days, where we've had a community service, and that is not taking place. There won't be Bowmansville Days, but there will be a community worship service on June 11th, the second Sunday of June. So we've made some changes. So in June, we've moved the pastoral support from the second to the first Sunday in June, and the community worship service the 11th. And then in August, the second and third Sundays have been switched around, where the pastoral support is the second and the third Sunday is Haiti. And one other item has been changed. We've been blessed to have a healthy balance in the short-term missions fund, and we're praying that God will call people to missions. But we felt the need not to add another Sunday's worth of additional funds to that account, and so December 24th, Christmas Eve service day, that will be an additional pastoral support fund. So if you have any questions, please ask, but that is simply the only changes on your schedule. Thank you.
For the parting blessing, I'd like to reread Psalm 18:2. So you can stand for this. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So go in peace, knowing that Jesus is our rock. You're dismissed.